Let us turn back to Solomon, Song of Solomon, rather, chapter 8, verse 13. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Here we read of the last words of the bridegroom to the church. Here Christ issues to ask the people of God a call. His last command before his ascension to heaven. Here is his parting words to his people. His last commission to the church of Christ. But it is only a temporal parting, for Christ our Lord, our Savior, the head of the church, will return. We read here also, the bridegroom says to his beloved, thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hear or hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. And the interpretation or understanding of this verse is that, in other words, Jesus, the head of the church, is saying to his bride, when I am far away from thee, when I am far away from you, fill this garden with my name. Let thy heart commune with thee. She, then the church, promptly replies, and it is in her last word till he comes again. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. The bride responds with the words, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And so these farewell words of the Lord Jesus are very precious. And it is very instructive to those of us who are in the church of Christ. Last words, as you know, brethren, are words that are usually most important. Last words are always noticed. Last words of those who love us dearly are of much value. The last words of one who loves us to the death are worthy of a deathless memory. The last word of the Lord in this song reminds me of the commission which the Master, our Lord Jesus, gave to his disciples before he was taken up, when he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so, brethren, as we progress in our brief study of this text, you will see why there is a striking likeness between the commission connected with the ascension and then the present farewell, parting words of the Lord Jesus, wherein the spiritual Solomon, the Lord Jesus that is, says to his beloved, chosen, elect people, thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. Let us get into our text at once, and we notice, first of all, there is an appointed place. That is my first head. An appointed place, or an appointed resident is mentioned here. Thy bridegroom says, thou that dwellest in the gardens. In the Hebrew text, it is in the feminine. And so, or hence, we are bound to regard it as the word of the bridegroom to his bride. It is the mystical word of the Lord to his chosen people. So then, this call, or this commission, is addressed to those in Christ, is addressed to those of us, you and I, who are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. We who make up the Church of God, this commission, this call is addressed to us. This title given to believers here on earth, first by way of distinction, distinction from the Lord Jesus himself. He who loves us, right now our Lord Jesus dwells in the ivory palace, he has ascended and gone back to his Father, and he has left us in this garden or vineyard here below in this world. And he came down a while ago in the past, and he looked upon his garden that he might see how his vines are flourishing. But now he has returned to his Father and our Heavenly Father. And Christ watered the soil of his garden with his blood in Gethsemane, and he made the garden to bear fruit unto life by being himself laid in the grave. But all this work, this cross work of Christ is over, is finished. His dwelling place right now is in the heaven on the throne. Jesus has not taken us, the believers, the elect children, with him. But he will come again at another time. At another time, at his appointed time. But now he leaves the believers among the gardens in God's vineyard to sow, to plant the gospel seed, and to do the King's work until he returns again. He came, as you know, about 2,000 years ago, and having finished the work on the cross, while the work which his Heavenly Father, which his Father gave him, and he has done that, finished that, he went back to heaven. But before his ascension, he gives us, the Christian believer, a divine commission. And you know that divine commission: go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Our life work, brethren, you who are in Christ, you who are Christian, our life work is not finished yet. And hence, we must continue. We must continue our brief pilgrim journey here as sojourners for a while, and be known that we are inhabitants of the gardens. And so it is expedient or beneficial that we, the Christian, should be here and continue for a while in this sin-cursed world, even as it is expedient for the Lord Jesus that he should return to heaven. God's glory is to manifest in us, the believers, in our pilgrimage. And that is the will of God for his people, that he may manifest his glory through us, through our Christian testimony and our Christian witness. Or else, if that is not the purpose, the Lord Jesus would have taken us immediately after we came to receive him as our Savior. Jesus' prayer for the church is this: I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. It is God's will that his children should remain here in this world for a while, as this is the best place for us, the believers, to fulfill the will of God. Here, the church must remain for a while until all the will of God, all the will of the Heavenly Father shall be accomplished in her people, in the church, the people of God. And then, at the appointed time, the church, the people of God, the elect, shall be taken up and shall dwell with the Lord Jesus above. The title is given by way of distinction, and it marks the difference between her condition and that of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Next, beside by way of distinction, the title is also given to us by way of enjoyment. It is for us to enjoy in the garden of God, where He places us. Once upon a time, you and I were languished in the wilderness. We were in sin. We were in bondage. We were in misery and sin. And there was no rest in our soul. Once upon a time, we were in that state, in the wilderness. Then we were spiritually poor, needy, blind, ignorant, naked. In His mercy, the Lord Jesus brought us out of that wilderness and placed us in His garden. He sought us and He brought us into the gardens of His love, of His mercy, of His grace, where He satisfies us with the rivers of the water of life and fill us, the believers, with the fruit of the Spirit. And now, we who are in union with Christ, we dwell indeed in a goodly land, in a garden planted by God. Now, the question to every one of us is this: are you dwelling in the garden of the Lord Jesus? If Jesus is truly your Savior and Lord, then you are dwelling in the Church of God, where He feeds you with spiritual food through His Word, where He speaks, or rather where He spends His care upon you and watches over your soul. It is the Church of God. It is a local church like this, like what we have here, where God nurtures His people through the preaching of His Word and through the spiritual oversight of God's appointed leaders to watch over your soul. And so therefore, brethren, it is very important for you to understand this, that the church is not a social organization where you come together and have some fun and chit-chat and talk and have food and then that is about all. No, the church is the garden of God, where He nourishes you, where He wants you, and that is the appointed place and the will of God, that it is through the preaching of the Word of God that will feed your soul, that will nourish your soul, and to prepare you to meet your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, on that appointed day. Therefore, brethren, let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. Not just that we are in the family of God in this congregation, but also I may add that we also ought to be very thankful that we have this physical place of worship. I'm not sure whether you are aware that, do you know there are many congregations that has no proper place, so to speak, to worship the Lord like this? We are worshiping in comfort, and that is why you may notice that when we have our corporate prayer, we give thanks for this place that the Lord has provided for us to worship every Lord's Day. Not being outside, having to face the rain and the sunshine and all the dust. It is a blessing from the Lord. And in my short missionary experience, I went through that in those countries that are poor. The Christians, we have to gather out and set up a tent to worship every Lord's Day. We have to put in the effort to set up the tent and to bring the chairs and arrange everything. And after that finish, we have to pack and clear up the place every Sunday. Well, whereas, is it not a blessing from the Lord that we can just comfortably walk in here every Lord's Day and to worship? And yet how often we are very careless, we are very frivolous in our attitude when we come for worship, isn't it? And so therefore, may this be a reminder to us, and perhaps even a rebuke, that we ought to take our Lord's Day worship very seriously, reverentially. Come prepared to worship the Lord, to praise Him, to give thanks to Him, to hear and to receive His word for our spiritual well-being. Just as Adam was put into the Garden of Eden for his own happiness, so you who are in Christ are put into the Garden of the Church for your comfort and your spiritual nourishment. Yes, it is not a perfect church, or it is not a perfect paradise of peace in the church while the church is still in this sin-cursed world, but it has many points, many likeness to the heavenly paradise. For God Himself, unknown to us, unseen by our eyes, God Himself walks in the garden of His church, just as we read in the book of Revelation, when the Spirit of God walks among the candlesticks. The candlesticks represent the church. And so it is for the Lord Jesus Christ. God Himself walks in the garden of His church, and the river of God does water and quench the spiritual thirst of our soul. And the tree of life is not there anymore, unguarded by the flaming sword. The tree of life is now made available to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not written, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it day and night. This is the word of God through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 27 verse 3. I read again. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it day and night. See, therefore, you are distinguished from the Lord Jesus by being here for a while the Lord Jesus is in heaven now. Yet, you and I who are in Christ are made partakers of that joy. The joy of the Lord. Remember Jesus says what? For the joy that is before Him, our Lord Jesus humbled Himself and went to the cross of Calvary for His people. The Lord's joy is your joy. It's the joy of God's people. And you are made to have a joy in them also, even during this time of your short sojourning in this sin-cursed world. That joy begins now. That joy is not to come when we meet the Lord Jesus in heaven. That joy of the Lord that the Lord has, that the Lord shared with us, is to be enjoyed now as a believer, even in this sad, sorrowful, sin-cursed world. The second point, and which is also my final point, we glean from this text that there is an invited fellowship. An invited fellowship. Verse 13 says, the companion, hear or hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. What the bridegroom is in effect saying is this, I am going away from you, I am leaving you for a while, see to it, and I see you no more, but I shall see you again. But meanwhile, when I am away, do not forget me. Do not forget the Lord. Though you will not hear my voice speaking to you through your bodily ears, I shall hear your voices. Therefore, speak to me. Unseen, I shall feed you among the lilies. Unperceived, I shall walk in the garden of the church. Therefore, do not forget me. Though you cannot see me, though you cannot hear me per se, let me hear the voice of the Lord. How? Through your prayers. Through your praise each Lord's Day as you come. Why do we sing hymns? Just to fill up the time? No. These hymns of praise is to invoke in us a heart of adoration and praise and thanksgiving, because the words of the hymns reminds us of the goodness and the mercies of the Lord, the love of the Lord for us. And so the Lord Jesus wants to hear this from us. Cause me to hear it. Hear what? Let me hear your prayers. Let me hear your praise. Let me hear from you your whisper of love for the Lord Jesus. And then I note from this invitation, first of all, that it is a very loving and condescension of our Lord Jesus that he wished to hear from us. What can we, wretched, sinner, unworthy, sinful, speak to our Lord Jesus? So therefore, is it not marvelous that he who is God, infinitely blessed, holy, righteous, pure, just, and that God should want to hear our voices, when all the time what he hears from us is complain, murmuring, sighing, quarreling, and then of course we utter or sing a few poor hymns, just perfunctory. Ask yourself this. If a beggar comes to you and asks for help, sure, initially, I think most of us will do that, that you will be willing to help, to offer something to the beggar, something to eat, something to put on, perhaps. But if the beggar comes to you again and again and again and again, day in, day out, what would be your reaction? What would be your response? You see, it is not so for our Lord Jesus. He, despite our, as I said just now, murmuring, quarreling, tearing at each other, seeing Christians killing each other, tearing at each other, yet he is not tired. Our Lord Jesus is not tired of hearing our begging, hearing our cry out to him. Instead of being tired of us, Jesus says, let me hear your voice. Come, do not deny me your heart's best beloved. Do not be silent unto me. Come, commune with me with your heart. Oh, brethren, do we not need to confess that often in our hearts, though perhaps we did not do it in our action, in our hearts and in our minds, what do? Even as Christians, we ill-treat our Lord Jesus. How much we have slighted him. How much we often turn our backs to him. How? By our not being interested in spending a short time in our devotion to read his word, to pray and to seek him and to praise his name. How often we are willing to put that aside and go about our other business, which is legitimate, but we put that as our top priority and not the Lord Jesus. We, as I said this morning, we just chuck him at the back of our room or in the closet. In looking back, is it not true? Even for myself, there are many of us who must feel as if this gentle word of the Lord Jesus is also or has a sharp side to it. The text goes like a dagger to our hearts. For if I often turn away from the Lord Jesus and scarcely have time to commune with him, to meditate upon his word, to think of him, to give thanks to him for all his mercies and blessing, to hear his voice speaking to me from his sacred word. How often we do that. So therefore, brethren, Let us all, including myself, mend our ways, repent, and henceforth show our Lord Jesus a truer and a fuller love. And how do we do that? We must, as I said before, intentionally pray for this. Don't just ask God, bless me, bless me, bless you with what? Just pray, Lord, increase my love for Thee. Increase my love for Your Word, for Your truth, for Your law. And keep it not to obtain salvation. Keep it, as Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So you now, as a believer, you keep the commandments of God, you obey God's law in gratitude to Him for what He has done for you. Let us give Him fuller, truer love. And this invitation has many sides also. For when the bridegroom says, cause me to hear it, he means that the believer should speak to him in all sorts of ways. Frequently, brethren, we should be heard in praising God. I do not know whether you have done this before, and that was my experience also in the when I was a missionary in Kenya, and one day I was downtown to do whatever I was telling you this morning of emails and grocery and whatever. And by the mercy of the Lord, the higher hand of God, my wife Carol was not with me. And that day was the inauguration of the new president for Kenya. And Kenya is a country, when it comes to election, is always ends with or begins with a lot of violence. And I didn't know that. That was our first year there. And so I was downtown, and I knew already when, because I saw somehow the Lord gave me this intuition that I better be careful. Because the people were all celebrating and running around, and people like me, they call us the Mongzungu. The Mongzungus are the foreigner, because you stand out very, very distinctly. You are not the same color with them. And so they know that you are there, and they know that somehow or other they have this idea that all the foreigners that come into their country, because you can fly in, therefore you must be very rich and you have a lot of money. And so lo and behold, I have this sense. I was walking on myself. I asked our mission driver to wait for me somewhere. And then, as I was walking, I saw this group of people coming. Within seconds, this came to me. Oh Lord, have mercy. I prayed a short prayer. Oh Lord, have mercy. And next moment, they pound on me. They snatch away my things. My spectacle flew somewhere else. And then lo and behold, within a few seconds, and I surely, it must be the work of the Holy Spirit that moves among them, the few of them. They are all in their youth. And suddenly a few of them stopped all their friends from doing what they were doing to me. Took my thing, snatched my thing. And thank God that I did not react in such a way that will provoke them. Because if I do, I think I'll be dead. And let me tell you, all the people standing around, no one will help you. But what I'm trying to bring to you is that this experience, which I do not know whether you have it, if not, try it. A short prayer. A short prayer. It's very short. Lord, help me. That's all. And the Lord answered that. So, here the Lord Jesus is telling us, we can speak to the Lord in many ways. You don't have to make long prayers like the Pharisees. All your chanting. And then in your heart, as you walk perhaps to school, to work, on the bus, on the train, or whatever, in your heart, sing a hymn of praise. Give thanks to the Lord. Say to Him, let the Lord Jesus hear your voice. Spend as much time as you can alone with Him in prayer, in His Word. Likewise, with all our complaints and our petitions and our cares and concerns of this life, bring it to the Lord Jesus. You need not needlessly bear yourself, because He says to you already, I care for you. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. So why do you want to hold it? You can just say a short prayer, Lord, I'm in this trouble. Help me. Simple. And so same. Fill His ears with your cares, with your concern. For He's not tired of hearing your petitions. He loves to hear from us. And so we should employ our time, our energy, our effort far more profitably. Instead of murmuring, complaining, we bring it before the throne of grace. We bring it to His mercy seat. And this is the kind of fellowship here Solomon is, or rather, the bridegroom is telling the church. The companions hearken thy voice, cause me to hear it. Be sure, as you speak to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, or you speak to others, make sure you do not neglect to speak to them. Speak for Jesus and speak about Jesus and speak with Jesus. Brethren, this is a blessed invitation to all of us who are God's people, that we ought to avail ourselves to this invitation. Of course, you may ask, what else? What should I say to the Lord Jesus? Well, the answer is in verse 14. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or young hart upon the mountains of spices. What is this all about? This is what the church said in the last verse of the song. Exactly so. Like the last book of the book, like the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, Song of Solomon here ends in similitude with a prayer for Christ to come quickly. Yep, it is here. That is the message. The words here, make haste, my beloved, is the prayer of the church to Christ. Here, Christ is pictured as a hart, a deer, leaping across the mountains, delighting in all the spiritual fragrance of His bride, of His church, of His people, and emerges into a very single invitation for Christ to come quickly, to come with an eager desire for Jesus to come again. It is a petition. Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me. Behold, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And brethren, from time to time, we must have this in our mind. It is a blessed frame of mind to be in, to be willing to invite Christ to come. And take note of this, brethren. Whenever you cannot make such a prayer, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and whenever you have no desire for Jesus to come quickly, to come and return and to bring you with Him, you have no interest in this, no thought of this, be very careful. It is very likely, and it is a warning to you, that you are in dangerous water, that you are moving away from Christ instead of moving towards Him more and more each day. As born again Christian, our hearts on this earth, sinful, cursed world, must gradually, day by day, through the Holy Spirit, we must grow to dislike this world more and more, and to delight in Christ coming soon. And so, make that your prayer. And if you cannot pray that prayer, and oftentimes you just wish, yeah, Lord, you come, but wait for a while. Let me finish my earning my million first. Let me become a millionaire first and achieve all that I want to have achieved, then you come. Meanwhile, let me enjoy myself here. Life is very good here, you know. Everything is well. I'm getting all this promotion. My bank account is all full. I'm ready. No problem, you know. What inflation? What recession? It's okay. Meanwhile, don't come first. Let me finish up all my things first. Advance my career and what have you. Get all my things done. So be careful. My text, therefore, this text here in verse 13 and 14, serve as a monitor, serve as a warning to all of us, to keep you from the path of the destroyer. Jesus says, let me hear thy voice, and let thy voice say to him, this desire, even so, come quickly, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you, your Holy Spirit, will put these words in our hearts, will create this desire in our hearts more and more, fuller and fuller each day during our short pilgrim journey here. Indeed, Lord, wean our hearts from the cares of this world, from the deceitfulness of riches. Set our hearts on Thee. Set our hearts more and more on heaven. And indeed we may be able to say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, for we desire to be with Thee forevermore, to praise Thee and to worship Thee and to fellowship with Thee at the place that You have prepared for us, Your chosen people. So help us. And meanwhile, O Lord, in this new week, as you have graciously granted us breath and life and health and this new beginning, a new week, help us, O Lord, to seize this week to live for Thee, that our lives may glorify Thee and that we may enjoy Thee. And peradventure, Lord, if you should tarry, bring us once again into Thy house, that we may praise Thee and worship Thee. In Jesus' name, Amen.